and gentlemen, buckle up. We're going 3-1.
If Harvick's able to clear the one of Jamie McMurray and a caution comes out, he'll be back on the lead lap.
Rick, join us as we break down the latest news, stories, and race events from the three biggest divisions in motorsports.
Into the wall, then into the two. The two goes around. The caution's going to come out.
The Gander Outdoor Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. Will Joey Logano repeat?
A drag race, they're sideways, and it's going to be Logano getting the win.
Or will someone else take claim on being the next champion? It's time for the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. And now, here's your host, Eddie Greer III.
Y'all know what's up. It's time once again for the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast with yours truly, EG3, Eddie Greer III. Here with you guys for another edition of the podcast tonight. And yes, this is the post-race reaction edition of the podcast, the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast, all about the latest in the world of NASCAR, Gander Outdoor Truck Series, the Xfinity Series returns to Texas Saturday, and of course the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, the three biggest divisions in all of motorsports. And Big D, a few moments ago, just joined me down here inside of EG3 garage here in Manhattan, Kansas. We're coming at you as always from the Midwest, and oh boy, we got some news to share with you guys here tonight on this post-race reaction. Obviously, Martinsville, we'll get into that here momentarily. And of course, huge announcement surrounding the schedule for 2020 next year. We'll save that for the second half of the broadcast tonight. But we got a lot to cover. Just a lot's happened at last, and the announcement came just a couple hours ago, so a lot going on, a lot of reaction from social media. We hopped on there beforehand, and yep, there are a lot of positive, there mostly what I saw, positive reactions to the schedule. And NASCAR, at least, I'll give them this. they weren't messing around when they said they're going to make changes, and they nailed it. I'll discuss that here as we dive in to the post-race reaction of Martinsville. But speaking of which, Martinsville, they're the centerpiece, or one of the centerpieces in this thing, and we'll share that as we go along. And there's so much we can talk about. We can talk about this all night, but in so little time frame. Let's just get on to the post-race reaction. What went down in Martinsville, shall we, with the Gander Outdoor Truck Series? And I was able to see this race while down in Wichita, of course, and Austin Hill, of course, has been the only regular to win in the Truck Series early here in the 19 campaign. That goes without saying, y'all know what it is. Kyle Busch, who's in the field once again in the truck race on Friday night, won another Truck Series race. That is three in a row, if I'm not mistaken, in the Truck Series this year already. Kyle Busch is, I believe, undefeated in the Gander Outdoor Truck Series races here thus far, holding off Ben Rhodes, who had a great run to win at Martinsville. In this race, was won under caution there. Kyle Busch took the white flag. This race ended under caution, the True North Global 250. Kyle Busch continues to roll on, Big D. Yeah, all you can do is shake your head. Ben Rose, the first regular to finish in the second spot there, but Kyle Busch back up to him here real quick. 54th career Truck Series win here. Make sure our stats is correct here. Yes, it is. 54th win in the trucks, and he scored last week, of course, scoring historic win 200. And Kyle Busch is moving right along with win number 201 at Martinsville Speedway. Ben Rhodes had a good run, as I mentioned already here. But how about Ross Chastain? Obviously running in the truck seat, running the Truck Series race at Martinsville, and then of course running for a championship in the Xfinity Series. Chastain, gave Kyle Busch a little bit of some fits there, winning stage two. Of course, Kyle Busch winning stage one, of course, went on to win the race right there. Stuart Friesen sat on the pole for this one, led 18 laps. Chastain led 53, but of course, that 51 truck back in victory lane once again. And be too far off to say Kyle Busch could be going back to victory lane. I always don't like to foreshadow stuff like this, but right now Kyle Busch is winning in everything, obviously, that he's competed in, obviously, this year. And this train is not going to stop anytime soon for him. Let's just go right to the top 10 here in the True Global 250, beginning with Bubba Wallace, who made a special appearance in the 22 car, coming home in the 10th spot. Of course, Bubba Wallace, the two-time winner in the truck series there at Martinsville. And how about today, Big D, Johnny Sauter, one of the heavy favorites coming into this race right here. Johnny Sauter had motor issues early on and somehow worked his way back to the top 10. At one point, was third toward the end of stage one there. And a credit to the 13 team there that really saved the bacon of Johnny Sauter right there to figure out the problem. And that really, the caution was their best friend. Sauter finishing in a ninth spot right there. Matt Crafton, who was penalized, I believe, for speeding on pit road or the other, but I believe it was speeding on pit road or having equipment out of the box, one of the two. But anyways, overall than that, he was penalized on pit road. Riley back to finish in the eighth spot, so good run for him. Grant Emminger, and the trend continues for ThorSport Racing. All four trucks finishing inside the top 10 like Stuart Haas Racing did on Sunday. Emminger in the 7th spot. Myatt Snyder, Martinsville Killer, in the top 10 yet again in a 27 car. Myatt Snyder making a special appearance there. Snyder, I believe that's 5 trucks in there who made the appearance there. So Snyder, who finished 3rd in the fall race, I believe, last year, finished 6th on Saturday. Nice run after starting 15th. Friesen, I mentioned, started on pole, finished in the top 5. Ross Chastain, your winner of stage number 2 there, and giving Racing Fellas Hard, finished 4th. Brett Moffitt, your defending series champ there. Great run, another top 5 there for him, finishing in the 3rd spot. Moffitt, of course, another solid effort there, and coming up short, he's knocking on the door of getting a win here very soon, and it won't be surprised if see him and Kyle Busch duke it out at Texas. But you guys throw some players in there like a Stuart Friesen, who's been very strong out there and down there in Texas. Ben Rhodes finished 2nd in that 99 truck, and of course we covered Kyle Busch already in this segment. You take a look now, switching our screen now over, and of course next time we'll see these trucks on the track, of course, this Friday night, the Vancouver 350 on FS1. MRN has coverage on the radio. We take a look now at the truck series standings now, and we have, I believe, a new points leader. That in a person of the 52 truck of Stuart Friesen by +4 over Grant Emminger now. Moffitt close 3rd, 5 back. Johnny Sauter and Harrison Burton tied for the 4th and 5th spots respectively. If you want to look at it that way, 9 points each back. And then Ben Rhodes now in the 6th spot. Austin Hill, of course, your Daytona winner in 7th and the only original regular in the trucks to win this, to win thus far here in 2019. So, you know, a lot of it, you know, Kyle Busch is going to be done running the trucks here very soon. So it's going to open up the playing field for a lot of these guys to get in victory lane here soon. So they'll be glad when Kyle Busch is done with this slate of races in 2019 in the Gainer Outdoor Truck Series race. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to 3Wide NASCAR Podcast EG3, and we're moving right along. As I mentioned, I snuck in. I was down in Wichita over the weekend for a marathon, which I'll dive into for a little bit in the next, in half number two of the post-race action of the podcast. But Cup racing, the Cup race, I was able to watch. I kept up with most of it on Twitter. I turned on the TV, following the race. Was very physically and mentally exhausted. And turned on the race after stage two to watch a lot of chunk of the final stage. And no spoiler or anything like that, but Brad Keselowski, the Martinsville Dominator of the weekend, Keselowski put it on the Cup field on Sunday. There's no way around it. I mean, Chase Elliott was there on his butt the whole entire time. Or at least while I was watching, at least the last stage, Chase Elliott was on him. And then, of course, I basically turned it on at the right moment, pretty much, because Keselowski was dominating this race. And then Chase Elliott passed him, saw that. And then the pits came, and then Brad Keselowski. And, you know, last year, Joey Logano and the pit crew was huge and root for Joey Logano to win that championship a year ago. Well, the Penske crew was on top of it for Keselowski. Got him out in front of Chase Elliott. That was a deciding factor. How many times on the 3Wide NASCAR podcast have we talked about the pit crew of Penske? Pretty much everybody has. And why they've been so good. And now that's translated to the racetrack. And, you know, I was listening to the podcast version of Race Hub this morning. And, you know, they talked about, you know, Penske, Chakanow saying that that group, quoted his words, they found something and they have not relinquished it, obviously. And that's what we're seeing right now out of the box here in 2019, whether it's Joey Logano, Brad Keselowski, and the forgotten child, Ryan Blaney, in the mix for Penske. It was all those three, or two of the three, or really all of them, they have really good race cars right now. And a surprising factor, Joey Logano, he was out to right field for this race, and that they got stage points, but that team was out of the ballpark over the weekend, and that was very uncharacteristic, especially come off one of the emotional moments, or I should say the memorable moments of the year last year, especially at this racetrack last year, and taking the win away from Martin Truex Jr. And then come back, and basically the second half of the race was a non-factor in this race. Pretty disappointing for that bunch, but flip side of it, you got your two teammates up there running very strong, and Keselowski added another win to the bank here after winning Atlanta earlier a few weeks ago. You turn around now, Keselowski, it's the Kyle Busch, Brad Keselowski show when you look at the stage points right now. So we'll dive into that here in a little while here on a 3Wide NASCAR podcast. But what there's no way to cookie cutter this. Is Brad Keselowski put an ass kicking on the field, over 400 laps led en route to the victory. And when I tweeted lap traffic earlier this morning, also to do my lap down lucky dog picks, I pretty much it's plain and simple. Keselowski was in his, other than the Chase Elliott who ran very solidly all day long, led the other 40-some laps there. Keselowski, Paul Wolf, that bunch, they were in another area code while the other guys were trying to just catch up to them in this case here. And I talked about Martinsville being the center of the attention as far as the schedule deals, and we'll get to that. We're definitely excited to get in into that. As I said, we can talk 2-3 hours like the NCAA bracket. We can talk about that all night long, but we're on not time crunch, but we want to get this out in respectable order. So we will court it down to a minimum. But Keselowski, obviously, 446 laps led, taking both stages, sweeping stages in the win, and taking another grandfather clock home, his second at Martinsville, of course, win number two of his career. How about that, Big D? Pretty much plain and simple there for you, huh? One guy dominating the field, but we usually, though, folks that are familiar with NASCAR racing, and even new folks out there to tune in to the podcast, that, you know, when you have one guy dominating, something usually goes wrong. And for a moment there, we all thought, well, Chase Elliott going to come up here and sneak up and get a win. And the Fox broadcast said that the Elliott, whether it's Bell Elliott or even Chase now running in the Cup Series, the Elliott fam have not taken a checkered flag win at Martinsville. I thought that was very interesting when I was watching the final stage on Sunday. But yeah, there's really not much else except one other caution outside the stages. But other than that, that two car was on another planet here. Let's take it down to the full field run out all the way up to the top 10 before we take our intermission break here on the podcast. Cody Ware finished dead last in the 36th spot. Jeb Burton, 35th. Ross Chastain, after finishing in a strong in the top five, finished 34th. Cooley Joy, 33rd. DJ Kennington, 32nd. Michael McDowell, another bad finish after one of the, I should say, Cinderella stories from the Daytona 500. McDowell finished 31st. Eric Jones, 30th. Matt Tiff, 29th. Landon Castle, 28th. Daniel Hemric finished 27th. David Reagan, 26th. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. finished a couple of laps down in a 25th position. And then used to dominate this place, Jimmy Johnson, another dud for him. He was lap traffic. Finished in the 24th position in that 48, two laps down. Ryan Newman, a lap down, finished 23rd. William Byron, more on him in the second half of the program, 22nd. Chris Buescher, 21st. Matthew Benedetto come home in the top 20 and 20th. Joey Logano, as I talked about a few minutes ago, Logano, disappointing 19th spot. Kyle Larson, 18th. Contact with Eric Jones there. Eric Jones going to 30th. Kyle Larson there, finished 18th. Bubba Wallace, solid inside the top 20, finished 17th. Ryan Preece coming home in that 47 Chevy, 16th. Paul Menard, 15th. Moving up the ladder, Alex Bowman, a decent job in the 88, 14th. How about 13 and 13? Ty Dillon coming home in that 13 for Jermaine Racing. Good run for that squad. Kurt Busch, string of top 10 finishes come to an end at Martinsville. But other than that, though, still a solid 12th place finish. And Austin Dillon, RCR man, finished in the 11th position right there. We will go through the top 10. And when we come back from the intermission break here on the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast, as I said, we got a lot to run down. Obviously, K-State eliminated last weekend from the tournament, early exit from the tournament. So much more to get into briefly, obviously, and I haven't mentioned this here. I'll talk about the qualifying changes going down starting at Texas here, and I pretty much called it. I was probably the only one that called it out of all the podcasts. Sorry to brag, but I gotta brag on that one. We return to the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast, returns after this.
Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3 will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
What's up, folks? Back for the 3Wide NASCAR podcast, back on the airwaves. EG3 here talking to you guys for the 3Wide NASCAR podcast, all about the latest in the world of NASCAR, Gainer Outdoor, Xfinity, Monster Energy, the 3 Beast Divisions, and all of motorsports. The Brad Keselowski show was on tap at Martinsville Speedway over the weekend. Keselowski put it on this field. Top 10. We will hear from the winner here in a few moments. Let's get that top 10 here in here real quick as we move our screen to the top 10. Daniel Suarez in the 41 for Stuart Haas finished in the 10th spot. Great job for him. Eric Almirola finished in the 9th spot. Again, from Stuart Haas, Martin Truex Jr. finished 8th for Joe Gibbs Racing. Clint Bowyer penalized a couple times for speeding on pit road. That I know for sure because I watched the final majority of the final stage. Clint Bowyer speeding on pit road and somehow came all the way back to finish in the 7th spot. And Kevin Harvick, that Stuart Haas brigade in there in the back half of that top 10, finished in the 6th spot there. Harvick saying it was an okay day. But the 4 car, another top 10 finish. Then you had Denny Hamlin in the top 5 and 5th. Ryan Blaney mentioned in the first part of the podcast tonight. 4th, Kyle Busch finished in the 3rd spot there. Chase Elliott covered him, led 49 laps. Only 2 lap leaders, him and your eventual winner, Brad Keselowski. Man, Keselowski, Paul Wolf, they're on top of the game, and nobody was going to stop them. Here's Brad Keselowski with Matt Yoakum.
I don't know where I'm supposed to be.
You're right where you're supposed to be. Up on the front stretch with the fans celebrating. What a day of execution.
Yeah, it was. The car was really good. This Ford Mustang, you know, Ford worked really hard in offseason to build these cars and make them real strong, Matt. And so far, so good. just a great day for our team. Awesome execution on pit road. And big credit to Doug Yates and all the engine stuff. Those guys worked really hard. But just one of those days you dream of as a race car driver, Matt, you know, where you've got a great car. I don't know if we were as good as the 9th car. Yes, 9 now. Chase Elliott, he was really strong, but he passed me there with about 200 to go, and I watched him and studied him and kind of broke it down and knew what I had to do to hold him off with that fast of a car, and we were able to pull it off that last run with the restraw type Ford.
Several runs, no adjustments, and then the wedge adjustment. How important was that to dial this car back in?
Yeah, you know, as the temps are cooling off, the track was losing its rubber, and we were just losing grip. We weren't as good as we needed to be there, Matt, and so Paul was working on it to do the best we can, and that's what this team does. They never give up, and I'm really, really proud of them.
So that was Brad Keselowski with Matt Yoakum right there. And apparently before that interview there, Keselowski did a long burnout, but he got it done. Keselowski and the savvy leaders, the savvy veteran driver that he is, obviously a former champion of the sport, and he's still searching for that second championship. And that team just looks good. Usually, when we talk about Brad Keselowski, it's the latter half of the fourth quarter. He's one of those drivers to me that in the fourth quarter, if you get him hanging around in the top 10 somewhere, maybe close to the top 5, then when the fourth quarter of the race rolls around, he's right there. He's one of those guys that like loves to finish strong. In this case here, though, this is a different case right here. Martinsville, he was strong from first lap on to the last. Even with Chase Elliott passing him there in the middle of that second half of that race there, he was still on his heels studying like you just heard that audio clip, folks. That's what veterans drivers should do right there. He did not panic in that situation. Usually we have a dominant car, like I mentioned here in the first half of this episode, post-race reaction episode. usually something crazy happens when you have a dominant car, a bad pit stop sets you back, or a penalty or whatnot, you lose handling of the race car. They just did not do that. They went to work, Brad went to work on that car, made the right adjustments, Paul Wolf, that two team, and bam, they pit crew did the rest, and Brad Keselowski took it to the bank. So that's a textbook classic domination of a race right there. We've seen our share. I've seen my share of dominant performances, obviously, over the past few years on this podcast, and we saw another one. Even though, yeah, I did not see the entire race, I kept up with basically most of it on social media, and it was pretty easy because who? Why? One driver cleaned up the rest of the field. Yes, other than the Chase Elliott, we give Chase Elliott credit for making it a race, especially there towards the end there, trying to run him down on that second groove. But Keselowski was just too much there to handle, and two wins for Brad Keselowski here in 19. He leads, obviously, the Penske Brigade. Logano, the defending champ, won. Ryan Blaney continues to knock on the door here. And yeah, Ryan Blaney, a good track at Texas here coming up this weekend. Will not be surprised. Bristol here coming up also. Kansas down the line and such. Talladega. That's going to be interesting with this new aero package down there. See what happens. That's kind of a wild card in itself. Blaney. He could be getting the victory lane pretty soon here. We everybody's been talking about it, including us included. So we'll have to see what happens here from next several weeks. But we look at the standings now, and I'll get to the stage points here in just a moment. Here as Big D is doing that, I will get you to the standings, top five in standings right now. Kyle Busch, your regular season leader. By Hamlin, over Hamlin, his teammate, 21, plus 21 on Denny Hamlin. Kevin Harvick is third, now 25 back. Joey Logano is a solid fourth. Brad Keselowski is now a solid fifth place right there. So two of the Penske cars in the top five, and Blaney is sitting there in the eighth spot right there. All right, so looking at, got the standings pulled up here. Let's take a look at the quote-unquote. There we go. That's how you want to put it. Good job, Big D. So there you go. So stages, playoff points, however you want to look at it right now. So if the playoffs were to start this week, Kyle Busch sitting there in the top spot, obviously, with the, and remember, Kyle Busch won the regular season standings, I believe, last year, if I'm not mistaken. So, it was Kyle Busch won the standings last year. So, Kyle Busch won it again. He will be the top dog right now. Then Keselowski sitting there, 18 points, including with all these stage wins. And Keselowski now two stage wins. Both of them picked up over the weekend at Martinsville. Kyle Busch has four stage wins, including his big win. Two wins at, maybe backtrack a little bit. Yeah, two wins during the War at West Coast Swing, ISM and Fontana and Keselowski. So that both of them have two wins on the year. And you had another stage points with it. And then down here, Denny Hamlin sitting there with 15 extra points. This is if the playoffs were to start this weekend, which obviously they're not. Then go down here, Joey Logano with a win, has 13 bonus points with it. Harvick, 10, and then such forth. But we really want to focus on these two cats right here. Circle them, Kyle Busch, Brad Keselowski. You know the history. For those who don't, Kyle Busch has a hatred for Brad Keselowski. He's mentioned it over the years since Brad Keselowski has been in sport. You know, Keselowski, a trooper he is, has to go up in the Xfinity booth, Fox, call these races with Kyle Busch. You know, he has to be civil, obviously. You wonder what's going through the back of his mind when he has to talk about Kyle Busch when he's up there with chilling with Adam Alexander and Michael Waltrip when we call those races. But this is shaping up like I've mentioned several times, already early in 2019, JGR versus Penske, and who are top dogs right now? Leading those squads? Kyle Busch for George Gibbs Racing, Brad Keselowski for Penske, no offense to Joey Logano, and all that, but the points speak for itself right now. The laps led, that has been taken over by Keselowski over his butt-kicking performance, 538 laps now, led early in 2019 to Kyle Busch's 361. That is something else right there. And we're going to the place that Keselowski is looking for a cowboy hat at Texas. We'll see if he gets it this weekend. Speaking of which, turning the schedule now to the Cup Series, the O'Reilly Auto Parts 500 back on Fox Sunday, 3 o'clock Eastern Time. That means 2 o'clock local time here in Kansas or down in Texas, where obviously the race is going to be at Oklahoma, West Coast. Y'all know where it is. Figure that out. You got y'all selves. So I believe MRN has all the races. Nope. And when I say that, I am dead wrong, because Gainer Outdoors in the Marshall Energy race in Texas will have MRN on, and PRN will have the Xfinity Series race back on track after a week off. And remember, the last time the Xfinity Series took center stage on Saturday, Cole Custer took advantage of Kyle Busch's pit road mistake and capitalized on it. Cole Custer getting the win at Fontana. And remember, Big D, the last time we're here at Texas last year, last fall in the playoff situation, Cole Custer beating Bane with Tyler Reddick all the way to the checkered flag. I want to say that's exaggerating, but he beating banging on the backstretch on Reddick. Custer won the race, which put him in the championship four. Custer has a lot of momentum right now. Custer, Reddick, and them boys, all got Crystal Bell. They will look to take down Kyle Busch at Texas on Saturday. We'll skip that for right now. Texas, Saturday, 1 o'clock Eastern Time. That's a noon central start here in local town. Xfinity Series. We're going to give it a shot here to my bar chart. I already messed it up. But anyways, 300-mile race, Texas-style, Xfinity back on the racetrack. It's going to be a good one down here. I'll just say down there at Texas Motor Speedway. And Big D's pulling up the list right now. And speaking of momentum, Brad Keselowski, he ain't going to be in the Fox booth. He's going to be in that 12 car for Penske in the Xfinity Series race. And he's going to be duking it out with old man Kyle Busch. And one of note here, Cas Grala in the 21 car this weekend. Very excited to see what he's going to do this weekend. That's some notables right there for the Xfinity Series race on Saturday. We take a look at the Gainer Outdoor Truck Series list here. Well, we got it on that here. Obviously, the last time we're here, Todd Gillen was on the verge of breaking through in the Gainer Outdoor Truck Series race before he ran out of gas. I mentioned Stuart Friesen. That could be a great pick to possibly win this race. He can get around there pretty good. As well as, obviously, your Johnny Sauters of the world who won this race. Bubba Wallace is back in the 2 truck, Jesse Wuji in the 34, Ross Chastain back in the 45 truck, there Anthony Alfredo in the 54 for Kyle Busch, JC Little returns to the Gainer Outdoor scene there in that 97 truck there. He put down some good, decent amount of finishes last year. Corey Roper in the 04 as well. So there's lots to choose from right there. As well, it's going to be interesting to see what goes down a triple header weekend this weekend down at Texas. Huge for many reasons, of course. This is critical for me in a different sense for the lap track fantasy. And speaking of which, while I'm on that, let's just turn the tables on that real quick. You're listening to the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast, EG3. That is me, EG3, Eddie Greer III. Thank you for tuning into this post-race reaction edition of the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast this evening. Lap Traffic Podcast, obviously, they're doing their record. Brand's doing their recording right now. They might be already been finished with it, but picks, and we're still in the bottom fourth. Yeah, once you're down there, it's and all and these points start to stack up. Yeah, we're learning the hard. I'm learning the hard way, but we're again, like I always say on this on the show, still trying to work grind. And like I said about the bid, it's gonna be a big weekend down there at Texas with all three of the series going at it. It's probably the biggest weekend. I need points in them big this weekend to even try to get back in this thing. I feel like I'm in it for whatever reason. I still think I'm in it, but I'm out of it for whatever reason. Brett Moffitt, I picked him in the trucks. He finished third, and I thought I was looking good there. 44 points, not bad. Joey Logano come up here. We're get somewhere, right? Wrong. It's been that way so far in the first stage of this lap track fantasy that we're taking part of here. Logano, a lame 19th, even though with a couple stage points picked up there, lame 19th, so that's nothing to brag about for the cup side of things, but 67 points there at a possible 120 there. Picked the right company, picked the wrong driver. So there is that aspect of it. Still at the bottom of, or I should say the bottom fourth of that list right there, and hopefully you can pick up some points. This is where it has killed me not to pick up a decent amount of points. 160, we look at it here, 60, 120, you add another 60 with it, that's 180. Excuse me, my math was off there for others, and I'm better than that. 180 possible points, but we have cup guys in there, like Kyle Busch in here for the trucks. And you got Kyle Busch and Brad Keselowski to deal with in Xfinity. Those might be premium points there. So, gotta play smart. But other than that, though, I need to score a big, big D. You're laughing at me. Hey, man, I already said it. You know, though, Atlanta really put me in a bind. And the Las Vegas weekend did it for me there. That's why we're stuck at the bottom there, not moving up. But anyways, though, but we can still try to get somewhere and salvage it. I feel like we can move up a couple spots here and try to get something before second stage, before we know it. Second stage is going to be here before you know it here. But the other fantasy I've been playing with the wrecking and racing fantasy, I've been in that good, better, and that one, Kyle Busch, Martin Truex Jr. finishing, I don't even have it up there anymore. Finishing inside the top 10, but nonetheless, though, 74 points. Out of a possible 120 there. So not too bad in that aspect. Yes, I'm coming from, I started that fantasy league 3 weeks ago. And I need those type of numbers right there. So not too shabby in that aspect. So we're coming from the back. So, we're working on ways there. So, we know we're going to be playing that for the entire season. So, there's a chance to get somewhere there. While we could be missing the playoffs here. So, in the lap track fantasy. So, that's that. So, good on one end and trying to put a whole weekend together. That's been the issue, at least in this first stage in the lap track fantasy. So that's where I was at this week with all of that stuff there. 3Wide NASCAR Podcast rolls on, and while I'm thinking about now, Big D, let's hand out some EG3 Hema stickers before we take our final intermission break here on the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast. Let's hand them out right now. EG3 Hema stickers of the week. Ben Rhodes, EG3 Hema sticker. Brett Moffitt receives one as well. Johnny Sauter for that team performance there, getting him that team in the top 10. EG3 Hema sticker of the week, obviously. Brad Keselowski, why not? A performance like that, you got to get an EG3 Hema sticker. Chase Elliott, EG3 Hema sticker. And I give my last one to this cat, Suarez Nation. Daniel Suarez, EG3 Hema sticker of the week. Honorable mention from Big D. EG3 helmet sticker. His belongs to Myatt Schneider. Another top 10 performance at Martinsville. EG3 helmet stickers of the week from Martinsville weekend. Let's recap it for you. Johnny Sauter, Brett Moffitt, Ben Rhodes, Brad Keselowski, Daniel Suarez, Chase Elliott, Myatt Schneider, EG3 helmet stickers of the week here on the 3Y NASCAR podcast. All right, ladies and gentlemen, time to take our final intermission break of the night here on this post-race reaction edition of the podcast. Coming up out of the break, bring some of the news of the week, including qualifying. Finally, some changes there. Get into that. And of course, the big news of the day, schedule changes. Oh, and NASCAR, they really, when you talk about madness, boy, they really blew things up out of the air. We'll talk about that and more coming up next on the 3Y NASCAR podcast returns.
This is a quick pit stop. The 3Y NASCAR podcast with EG3 will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Welcome back to the 3Y NASCAR podcast, everybody. We're all about the latest in the world of NASCAR. EG3 in the building with you guys for this post-race reaction edition of the podcast. And I teased a little bit about this qualifying situation. Let's get into that right now. And this is going to start this weekend at Texas, obviously. And I don't need any of the I know the majority of the details, but obviously, pretty much like this. I said it after the debacle at Fontana. Of course, now, NASCAR put it like this. If you leave the designated area, you have to complete the lap. There's no playing around with the cars on pit road. That's apparently what Austin Dillon was doing, knowing the situation that he was going to get the pole. If none of those cars made it back around at Fontana, he succeeded that perfectly. Well, Austin Dillon, your plan for doing that even more comes to a shrieking halt. You can't do that no more. And of course, if you do not complete that lap, your time will be disallowed. Obviously, you got to start from the back. I said this a couple weeks ago. I was right on the money on this. I don't think Big D, I don't think any but other podcasts listened to mention this. Maybe one did, but I'm pretty sure I get myself credit for it. And look, you know, you gotta know the situation. That's just the bottom line. You're Cup driver, you're Cup Series drivers, and you should know better. And fans, I said it last week on the 3Y NASCAR podcast. If you have not got caught up with the latest episodes, you should get on that right now, because there were some good episodes, including my conversation with Ruben Garcia Jr. That was awesome to speak with him. Get on that. Get caught with the 3Y NASCAR podcast. You do not want to miss them on. But yeah, you know, you're Cup Series drivers and you can't make it back around. That's really no excuse. No excuse whatsoever. NASCAR and Scott Miller and company did the right thing, and I don't know if they listened to this podcast or not, but they nailed it on the head, and it's plain and simple. And you don't make the laps, you start in the back. That's just to summarize this point. You don't make the laps, and there was another rule in there in saying that if you get in the way of somebody's lap, your time will be disallowed, and you guys start in the rear of the field. So, pretty much, I give myself a lot of credit for this, because this is what should have happened. Those drivers should have not start in the front of the field. Anyways, yes, they didn't know the situation by then, but all those 24 drivers, yeah, that's going to make a hell of a start right there. Put the slow cars up front, put the fast cars in the back, it's going to be a hell of a mess. But hey, it's going to make it for, you want some exciting? You want some more excitement? That's some excitement right there for you, baby. There's no excuse right there. So yeah, you know, you can play this game or wait till the last minute, whatnot, but you don't make a lap, you're going to start from the back. And as we've seen NASCAR races unfold, especially in the beginning, you have a fast car, you are in the trouble, your race is ruined pretty much. And qualifying sets the tone for these races. Starting from the back, I don't care how fast your car is. Yes, you might get away with it, you know, make the right moves. We haven't seen the wreck, the normalization wrecks that we've been seeing. We've been seeing single car wrecks. We haven't been seeing the two car wrecks or whatnot thus far here in 2019 and all that, but you never know. Obviously, you know, you can have a good race car and something can happen to you in the coming from the field and your race is pretty much, I'm not going to say the word on here, keep it PG-13 for you ladies and gentlemen out there tonight, but hey, it is what it is. And NASCAR, they did the right thing in this instance here. Kudos to them on that day. Two kudos really tonight. And we'll see the season changes here coming up here on the very end. We'll save that for very last because, again, there's so much. I can dive into this for another hour or so, but I ain't got that much time for that here in a 3-Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3. We're going to take our car off the racetrack for a minute, talk about K-State, obviously, and their outs in the first round real quick. Pretty much dead and simple here. You know, my fears came true. Again, my gut feeling was right on this one. Again, I mean, the radio station team, I mean, no disrespect for what they've all done for the K-State basketball team has done this year. Fun year. Barry Brown, kudos. All I got to say, kudos. Thank you to Dean Wade, Kamau Stokes, who was by far, in my opinion, the hottest player on the K-State team to end this year, and Barry Brown. You know, it's a shame not to see Dean Wade play in an NCAA tournament for the second consecutive year. And he could have been a difference maker, but your best player is on the bench dealing with a hungry team like UC Irvine. UC Irvine did get eliminated over the weekend there by a red-hot Oregon team, by somebody else that's been hot. Oregon has been a dangerous team in this tournament as well, but it's really hard. And, you know, we got away with it last year, and a third of me thought we could possibly at least get to the second round, but UC Irvine was determined not to let that happen, especially after getting blown out at Bramlage a year ago in a non-con last year, 71-49. They had a mission, and UC Irvine achieved that mission there and getting past K-State. And, you know, it's now what for K-State? I don't know, especially now with, I talked about with a couple of friends of mine here in Manhattan about Xavier Sneed possibly going testing the NBA Wars. I mean, I called that one also. So, I mean, I have not listened to the latest edition since that loss, so I have to get caught up on that. Excuse me, folks, but other than that, you know, that's why all I have. I mean, gotta get credit due to them, you know. With you say what it is, you know, you go to all these places and whatnot, but jacking these threes up in the air, but hey, you know, that probably caught K-State off guard, because really UC Irvine was a 2-point team, but they were jacking up a lot of threes and making them. So that's pretty much self-explanatory in that aspects. All right, folks, back on our racetrack. And we got a little new segment going here, and Big D texted me and wanted to insert this in here starting tonight with his post-race reaction, and let's get right down on into that, the penalty box. We'll call this the penalty box. Yep, like hockey, there's a penalty box, and we had a few this week, well, majority of them or I should say, really, all of them were lug nut finds, of course, in the Gator Outdoor Truck Series. We had crew chief of Kyle Busch in that 51 truck for KBM, Rudy Fugel. One lug nut missing, was fined $2,500 for that. You turn your tip page over to the Cup Series side of things here, beginning with William Byron and failing pre-race tech there, going to the back of the field. Car chief suspended for that. So the 24 car had to start from the rear of the field for that one, and at least got majority of the laps in right there. So there was that situation on that one. And let's get to the lugs penalties on this one. Danny Stockman for Austin Dillon was hit with a $10,000 fine. Same as Mike Kelly for Matt Tiff and Tristan Smith, crew chief of Ryan Preece, all got hit with one lug nut penalties for $10,000. That is the penalty box coming out of Martinsville weekend there as we go into Texas here this weekend. I'm going to dive into some social media real quick before I forget that. You can follow me at EG3_FastCity. Again, at EG3_FastCity. Remember, giveaway is still, we're still at 300 for, at least for my Twitter handle is concerned. So, but still 50 more to that precious 350. Get more details. I'm going to start teasing it a little bit. But I have been on Twitter that much coming off a tremendous weekend down in Wichita. So, at EG3_FastEddie. And so, you can find the 3Wide NASCAR podcast wherever you get your podcast. Audio Boom, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iTunes, y'all know where it is. And please, if you have time, leave us a rating. It doesn't take you that long, obviously. And feel free, leave us a comment that we can get better. We use this, for our own good. We would love to get better, have the opportunity to get better each and every week on the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. Please leave us a rating and review. And yes, the 3Wide NASCAR podcast, spread the word, get the word out there. And there are a lot of other NASCAR podcasts out there that we are associated with as well. So please check that out and add this podcast to your Pretha, a sports podcast or racing podcast, wherever you download a podcast, 3Wide NASCAR podcast, social media update, 80 Grid of 30. You guys winding down this post-race edition of the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. Brad Keselowski whipped the field over the weekend en route to win number 2 in 2019. Finally. Oh, yes, and I want to talk about Wichita real quick, the marathon. Oh, man. And Wichita, Kansas, y'all need to change y'all slogan when y'all talk about trying to hype the race up. It was a good course and everything else, but it's not that flat. Come on now. Y'all say it's flat and fast. Y'all need to change it to a little bit of challenging here and there or something like that, because that thing, you had competitors come talk to me about, man, we're trying to, prior to the race, you had at least a few people come up to me and talk about, trying to qualify for the Boston Marathon and all these other stuff. And that wasn't my goal. My goal was to finish, which I did in pretty amazing fashion, actually. In finishing it, sub 3 hours and 20 minutes. Not too shabby for my first time. And yes, running a marathon definitely will test your limits for sure. I experienced that toward the end, but somehow fought through it. Like Brad Keselowski fought through it. No, I did not have the flu, but man, my body was almost gave out there, but managed to bring it home in the top 20 overall, in 20th out of almost 200 runners there. Not too bad at all. I'm pretty proud of myself. And again, I haven't been on Twitter that much over the weekend. I want to send my shout outs to those who reached out over the weekend to congratulate me on my accomplishments. I appreciate y'all for doing that. and including some of my friends off social media. But other than that, I wanted to do that in podcast form tonight. Give a shout out to you guys. Appreciate that a bunch here on the Throughout NASCAR podcast. And I thought that was going to be my only one for the year. I contemplate on doing another one later on this year. And that is to yet to be determined, but probably around the second Kansas race, where it's plot opposite where I usually go to watch the playoff race. But that's up in the air this year. At least that is far as I'm concerned right there. But I appreciate that as well. Big D, time to cue it up. We saved this. We anchored this for last, baby. Time to cue it up right now. Big D, let's roll that thing out.
Three Wide NASCAR Podcast, breaking news update with EG3.
That's right. Breaking news. Yeah, we cut it in here a little late than usual. But hey, the 2020 NASCAR schedule came out a few hours ago. And man, NASCAR, they really took some whatever and they really put this in confetti and spread it all around, because this thing just got even crazier next year. I'm already looking forward to next year already. Can you bring on 2020 already, please? Lord willing. But we still got a long way to go in the 2019 campaign. But when you look at, especially with the playoff situation, woo, everything just got turned 180 upside down, including the regular season and championship finales. When you look at it, there's no more Daytona in the July 4th battle, so you can forget about that. So that's going to be a little weird. You got back-to-back days. No, we're not talking about weeks. We're talking about a whole entire weekend of the Pocono Raceway. Woo! Are you serious right now? Back-to-back. So you're talking about a race, NASCAR race, on Saturday, and you're going back that up the next day with another one. Woo! So what you going to do with that? You're going to bring extra cars to the racetrack or what? I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen there. Daytona 500 still stays the same. And the regular season finale, there's no more Indy. And really, Indy should not be in a July 4th spot. Probably the only complaint from me you're going to get is that right there. That should be the July 4th race. I know Indy has not gotten the right publicity and whatnot, and rightfully so, because they have not packed that place worth. And yes, Indy has this rich tradition. That's for the Indy cars. And yes, their stock cars, they've been there for over 20 years now. But since that whole tire, you know what, situation, it just hasn't been the same kind of racing. Maybe this aero package that we've seen in the Xfinity Series last few years that has been translated into the Cup Series could change all that. We'll have to see about that. Anyways, that's my switch over. So now that you're deciding a race to get into the playoffs, Daytona, the final race of the play before the playoffs. Oh man, Big D, you better be locked in already for the flat race. That's all I gotta tell you. Just by looking at it, because anybody, obviously, can win that race, and Matt DiBenedetto or somebody can win that race and get them and be upset to get a win. And I tell you, Daytona, that's going to be quite a scene next year already. Yeah, that's something right there. Kansas, I just noticed this looking up at the schedule. That's been pushed back towards the end of the May month next year. Obviously, I talked about that. Homestead, ladies and gentlemen, is not the championship race no more. That belongs to ISM Racing. And people crying, wanting about short tracks for the last, 2 years or something like that? Well, we got a lot of them now, including the final race. I should say the championship four race at ISM. And I'm on that train now of saying, hey, let's rotate the championship four race to all these type of tracks so that they throw off these teams, you know, teams are getting comfortable, you know, when they're, especially if you're one of those teams in the final eight, you win, you're in the championship four, and you can prepare for Miami Homestead. Not anymore. You gotta prepare for a short, I shouldn't say short track, but a mile track. It drops like a short track, really. At ISM Raceway, where a lot of things can happen, especially when you flip the script to the track now. Complete 360, look it was in the past. Of course, it debuted last year. Exciting racing. Of course, we saw what happened last year. And obviously, the restarts, all the different types of strategy that plays out in that place. So, ISM Raceway gets the nod to be the Championship 4 race beginning next year. It's honestly, from my opinion, sad to see Homestead not be a part of the Championship 4 anymore. What a scene down there. It pretty much, it's really sad. Seriously, to be honest with you, not to see that race as the final race of the year. But hey, you know, NASCAR, so I hate it. Let's mix it up a little bit. And ISM gets the nod. And yeah, like I said, I'm on that board now. I'm on that train now of, hey, let's mix up. Let's rotate. Have a rotation of tracks to host the Championship 4 race. Kind of like the NCAA. I'm on board with Loose Lugs Podcast on that front of it. But yes, I mentioned Martinsville earlier on tonight on the podcast. We have a few more minutes on the post-race reaction edition of 3-Wire NASCAR Podcast. EG3, Big D, producer, back there doing his thing. Thank you for hanging out with us tonight on the podcast. Of course, this will go up tomorrow morning or possibly tonight. See what Big D's feeling. But anyways, Martinsville, Denny Hamlin didn't want night races at Martinsville for quite a while. Well, too late for that. Martinsville, about time. You them lights, you put them up for a reason. I'm pumped up for that. Martinsville, back-to-back night races. Well, not in back-to-back, but two races next year will be all night races, especially on Mother's Day. That's gonna be some scene, man. Under lights next year. And of course, Martinsville is the last race before the final four, the deciding factor. Obviously, it has seen its share of memorable moments from the last several years. Kenseth, Logano, Elliott, Hamlin, Logano, Truex last year. Whew, that's going to be fresh off the press. Fans, get out there, support your short tracks. That's all I got to say. This is much needed for NASCAR. Mix it up a little bit, and bam, you got what you want, and there's really no excuse now. You guys been crying, and yes, you know, my goal is go out and go to a short track, and it could be, now I'm working on some details, actually, this summer to go out to possibly Iowa. I'm very excited for that. We're going to have some of the details now to go out there. It's in driving. Yes, it's 5 hours away, Big D. Don't laugh at me. But hey, I mean, I've never been to a short track, and I want to go. So, you know, people who live close to Bristol, Martinsville, I'll throw ISM in there in the mix, Dover, a lot of these things got mixed up in the year. I might have another episode here to dive into this even further than that. Like I said, I'm excited. I could talk about this all night, but I don't have the time frame, and we're running short on time and short on battery as well. But Martinsville, get a nod. Go out and support your local short tracks in the playoff situation. That all got mixed up in here real quick. We're going to end it on this, and I'm probably going to talk about this more this week. See, but look, let's just go for the cutoff races. I already mentioned Martinsville in the round of eight. Then you move up to the Roval, and we got a lot of taste. We got an apple pie taste of what we saw last year. Jimmy Johnson, Mark Trex Jr. there, unfortunately, but exciting finish there. Roval, this round of 12 elimination race there in the opener. You got Bristol under the lights. Under the lights, baby. First elimination race of the playoffs. Wow. I tell you what, NASCAR, they did a fine job with this. And if Folks, 2020, I know we got a lot of racing left this year. Man, who can't be excited other than the fact that, yeah, there's, for me, there's the Homestead anymore not being part of the Final Four, and then got Indianapolis being the July 4th race, which I'm not really too pleased about that. But other than that, mostly, for the most part, I am definitely pleased about this schedule next year. And you got back-to-back off week with it. Gonna be something, Big D. Tell you folks, get that popcorn ready next year already. We're heading toward the end of March, and I know it's far in business, but Lord willing, we get to next year. Excitement in the air for NASCAR. Folks, ladies and gentlemen, Big D, let's shut this thing down. Ladies and gentlemen, that's gonna wrap things up for another post-race reaction of the podcast. Thank you for tuning in to this edition of the 3Y NASCAR podcast. Lot in the air for NASCAR as far as that goes. Congratulations to Kyle Busch and Brad Keselowski, your winners this weekend from Martinsville. We got a Texas size triple header this weekend to end the month of March. Who will come out on top? We'll talk to you next time on the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. We out.
NASCAR podcast with EG3. Make sure you're subscribed to the show wherever you get your podcasts. iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. We'll see you next time going 3 wide. 3 wide.